Blog Talk Radio.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to FDH Lounge Mini Episode number 463. The FDH Lounge is the show where nothing is off topic, but we do love talking pigskin. It's NFL Week 2. You have FDH Lounge dignitaries Rick Morris and Kyle Ross here to break it down for you. And going back to last week, start of the season, I was 11-5 on all of my plays. Regrettably, only 1-2 on my big three, 0-1 on my lock. Kyle, a sterling 3-2 start to the season. A full slate last week, a full slate this week, Kyle. That kind of start for both of us, I think, is encouraging.
Sure. You know, and I'll tell you who's happy about week one, not just me, even though 3-2, and I figure I could have maybe done a little better, but I'll take a winning card. But the books in Vegas made out like bandits. I don't know if you read about that. Oh, boy, did the public lose this
really?
Shirt. Yes.
Wow.
Public lost his shirt. You know why? Betting all those road favorites. You know, those, it was the underdogs ran wild last week. Our good friend, Bill Simmons, by the way, he always sends his regards to you, Ricky, wrote that this could be the year of the underdog in the NFL, and I don't disagree with that.
After last week.
Yeah, the favorites had their way last year, but, you know, who knows? A lot of home dogs this week, and you'll be surprised. I don't like them as much as you probably think I would, so...
Okay,
We shall see.
We'll see. I had eight dogs last week, only six this week, but we'll see how that goes. We start with the Thursday night opener here, the debut of Thursday Night Football on CBS to be simulcast, of course, on the NFL Network. Baltimore hosting Pittsburgh. Baltimore is laying a field goal in this one. Started at 2.5, by the way. Congratulations to the Baltimore Ravens for discovering that domestic violence is bad once a video of it is released. So better late than never, I guess, on that realization, but and for them to stop condoning it. But this is a situation where I'm all bollocked up on this one because Pittsburgh, notwithstanding the second half of last week, clearly looked a lot better than Baltimore did. I was wrong about how the Ravens were going to come to the shoot. The Baltimore can't run the ball at all, as evidenced by the fact that Joe Flacco threw it 5 dozen-plus times. Having said that, though, the Steelers, I think, showed enough of a vulnerability on the ground. Baltimore doesn't have to do much on the ground. They just have to run it enough to be a deterrent, which they weren't able to do last week. At the end of the day, I just can't see the Ravens starting out 0-2 at home against Cincinnati and Pittsburgh. They're going to be way down, way early if that happens. Very reluctantly, I say lay the 3 with the Ravens on Thursday night.
Always close games between these two. The line, I think if you go back about 5-6 years at these teams mm-hmm. matchups, the line is almost always home team minus 3. And, you know, that's shouldn't be a surprise. You know, both teams usually pretty good at home. Baltimore especially, but I thought you hit the nose, or pardon me, I thought you... what's the expression I'm looking for?
Hit the nail on the head?
Yes, you hit the nail on the head is what you did. Thank you very much for rescuing me there. You hit the nail on that. You know, Baltimore is usually a pretty reliable home team.
Yep.
I, too, was surprised that they lost to Cincinnati last week, looked pretty listless for most of the first half. I thought after Steve Smith caught that touchdown, they were going to kind of sneak it out with an ugly win. They obviously did not, as A.J. Green immediately answered with a bomb of his own. I'm laying off, obviously, the Ray Rice situation. You know, you hate to trivialize it by making it about football, but it does kind of cloud the situation here. I am with you in that I can't see Baltimore starting 0-2 with two home losses in the division. That was a great point by you. But here's my problem and where I'm conflicted. As you know, I don't like Baltimore very much this year. Not nearly as much as you do. I do have Pittsburgh winning the division. I think the closeness of their game last week versus Cleveland was somewhat overrated in that I thought they took their foot off the gas pedal in the second half and kind of let Cleveland back in that game. Maybe that's just me. So I'm laying off.
Don't blame
as
you.
Always,
as always,
I babble incoherently for 5 minutes just to tell you I don't really like playing this game.
Well, what it underscores is, again, how much thought does go into the actual recommendations you do make. Just for the hell of it, I'm putting out all my picks on there. Yeah, I mean, I'm just doing it just to give my picks on that. And then, like you, I try to target on some of them here, too. So the people don't expect picks on every game from you. The people expect targeted picks. And I know we have some more sharp ones coming up this week. Probably not in the next one, because this is just a lot of games this week have a really tough feel to them. And this one is way up there. Dallas is going to Nashville this week for a game with the old Tennessee Titans. Titans are laying 3.5. That line had been 4 at one point, but it's still kind of wiggling right around in there. That line, at least somewhat, I think, influenced by the way the public viewed both games last week. Tennessee coming out of the chute way better than expected. I mean, I picked them to cover and to possibly win, but not to look that good. Dallas laying a bigger egg than a lot of people expected. I said they could boat race, but I'm sure I was probably in the minority on that one. I don't want to overreact to week one, but I have a hard time picking Dallas at this point after that debacle that was there. Tennessee on their home field, I think, has got their sea legs under them a little bit better right now. I'm going to lean towards the Titans and say lay the 3.5 in this one. I don't feel good about it. I really don't feel good about saying the Titans are going to be 2-0.
Nor should you feel good about that one. The Cowboys almost got a recommendation for me, but that was not good in week one, what we saw. The only good thing, I guess, to take out of week one if you're a Cowboys fan is that Tony Romo got his Tony Romo game out of the way right out of the chute. I mean, he makes it very hard.
His one choke job of the year? His one choke job, Kyle Ross?
and it's always a late... Look, he's not perfect, but he always does, it seems, have that one game in the 4 o'clock time slot where it's a national TV game when he chooses to play his worst. And last week, look, he made it very difficult for people like me who like to defend him. Insane. He was just off. A lot of times it's not his fault. Last week it clearly was. He was pressing. And what's even crazier is the Cowboys defense, much maligned through the preseason, did a pretty decent job, all things considered, for the situations Romo put him in. So this thing could get ugly for Dallas this year. So I'm going to lay off him. Jake Locker looked a little bit better than I expected. I think that win, though, had a little bit to do with how bad Kansas City could be this year, not really how great Tennessee might be. If I wanted to play this game, I would absolutely take Dallas, but I'm not going to. It falls just short of a recommendation. I would not lay the points with Tennessee here. I'm going to need to see a little bit more from them.
Okay, fair enough. Tony Romo playing bad in the 4:25 time slot with the whole country watching, so I guess it's the liberal media's fault then that the perception of him is very poor. Moving along to Buffalo here, where the Bills are hosting the Miami Dolphins. A game that started as a pick 'em has now gone to the Dolphins laying a point on the road here. So you talked about home dogs and this being a very short home dog with the Bills here. Two unexpected wins last week here, and we talked about Tennessee. The fact that either one of these two chode teams could be 2-0 just kind of blows my mind. One of them will be.
Whoa!
Well, I love the Dolphins, but I got to be honest. I mean, I'm not going to show for them. I'm not impressed. But having said that, I'm going to lean towards them in this game because my sense is that some of the schemes that they put in the offseason, you saw it especially with the halftime matchups. Halftime matchups were huge in any number of games last week. And in the second half, New England really just struggled, I think, offensively and defensively with some of the schematics being thrown at them. We talk about the read option in recent years and some of the things that have come on the scene, the pistol. But the first team, when Tony Sparano was the head coach, the first team in the last several years to really start causing matchup problems based on schematics, lest we forget, was when Miami instituted the Wildcat a couple of years ago under a different coaching staff. Looks like they're doing it again. And I will put my money on the Dolphins doing enough to fool a Buffalo team that's going to have a hard time scheming for them. Again, I don't feel good about it, but I'll say lay the point on the road with the fish.
Wow, I'm surprised by your whole take on this game. I'm excited about this game, Rick Morris. believe it or not. Okay. Am I the only one? I'm very excited. First of all, a tip of the cap to both teams last week. I thought the two best wins on the board were these two teams last week. You talked about what Miami did to New England. The most shocking thing of all was how well that offensive line played. You know, we talked about the Cowboys defense. You know, everyone thought it, you know, sucked the big one all and was going to suck the big one all year, kind of being better than expected. The biggest surprise in week one for me was Miami's offensive line and the way they were able to push around New England's defensive front, which we thought would be pretty decent. And no Sean Moreno had a huge day. I mean, that was a game the Dolphins, I believe, trailed 20-10 at halftime. They completely whitewashed them in the second half. Tom Brady looks bad. But I want to say this. I don't know if that's that second half, what we saw, is reasons to do jumping jacks over Miami, or if we should feel a little trepidatious about New England. I know they fell behind. Tom Brady should not be throwing 56 times. That seems like it happens way too much in the last couple of years. But we'll talk about New England later. But let's talk about my Buffalo Bills. Here's a team, and this, by the way, we joke about this. I mean, people could roll their eyes at me. The winner of this game is 2-0. We talked at length, Ricky, in our preseason previews, that the AFC East beyond New England seemed to have room for a dark horse to step up and maybe grab that last wild card spot. I kind of said that maybe a little bit more than you did. I wound up, of course, picking Buffalo to make the playoffs before the year. The winner of this game, I'm telling you, is going to be feeling real good about itself with two division wins to start the year. If it's Buffalo, which I think it's going to be, by the way, they are going to be a recommendation, just to get that out of the way.
Okay.
They'll only need five more wins to go over that win total that I really like. They'll only have to go 5-9 to cash on that. I think bigger things are on the horizon. I was really impressed by what I saw with them last week. Going into Chicago and winning, that offense looks good. The defense, here's the key in this one, Ricky. Buffalo's got a great front four. It will not be pushed around by the rebuilt Miami offensive line like New England was. I'm going to guarantee you that right here, right now. And I'm sticking with what I said before the preseason. Buffalo's a sleeper. I was stupid to go against them last week. I should have trusted my instincts. Chicago's had a bad ATS record. I fell too much in love with that. More on that later. But I'm taking the Bills here. That's my first recommendation of the week.
First recommendation. All right, we get that one out the way. Next up here, we have the New Orleans Saints coming to Cleveland for the home opener, and New Orleans is laying 6 points on the road in this one. Both teams playing some back-and-forth football last week. New Orleans up on Atlanta, coughing that one away late. The Browns with that big second-half comeback against Pittsburgh. I said last week I thought the Browns would get the back door, and they did. And I kind of have a similar feeling about this one. I don't know. I would doubt that they're going to win the game, although they did stumble upon something here. Ben Tate might be the third best running back on this team. Terrence West, pretty strong. But Isaiah Crowell, again, a guy who was a five-star recruit in college. He was not an undrafted free agent on talent. This is a guy that's a franchise running back potentially on talent and really kind of showed some good flashes of it last week. The Browns, they may struggle a little bit without Jordan Cameron in there, particularly with Cameron Jordan bearing down on the passer. That's kind of a cruel irony, isn't it? But, you know, again, Hoyer had a good second half. He's a good rhythm quarterback. He is one of these guys that when he gets it going can be hot. We saw in the preseason he just really didn't get that hot. I think the Browns will get the back door on this one. I'm not enthused about them doing anything more than that.
You've been doing this show with me how long now?
This is our third year of going week by week.
Are you at the point now when you see a game like this that you're just like, oh, I bet you this is a recommended play from Kyle, and you know what side it's going to be?
I'm getting a little closer to that, yeah.
Okay.
I know it's not going to be the Saints, if anybody. You're not road favorite Kyle. I'm road favorite Ricky.
You know who's getting the check mark here. Cleveland. Give me the Saints.
Okay.
I'll keep it. By the way, these were two of the more entertaining games last week. Probably the two that I watched the most, mainly because I had Atlanta. That was a very nice outright win. You know, let's put Atlanta up there with Buffalo and Miami, who I just referenced, as best wins of the week. Yes. New Orleans played well in Atlanta against a team they're very familiar with, but this is only one of five games. I think I talked about this in one of our preseason shows, Ricky. This is only one of five games all year that New Orleans will play outdoors. With them off a loss and the public expecting the bounce back, this number's going to go up. If you're like me and you're a dog player and you're going to want to take the Browns, let's wait a little bit to do it. You're going to get a more optimal number closer to Sunday. Take the Browns, wait for the line to peak. I think this thing can get to 7. You know, if it crosses that line, obviously just jump all over it if you're getting more than just the one score. But I like the Browns to hang tough here against the Saints team who's scoring, dips about 50% when you take them outside. So Browns, the home dog, like Pettin's home debut as well. So they should be fairly fired up for this one.
Yes, they should. First time in many, many years that the Browns home opener is not their actual opener. It generally has kind of borne out that way. Not this year. In a strange coincidence, you go down Interstate 71, and you have also in the state of Ohio this weekend a team from the AFC North hosting a team from the NFC South. In this case, it's Cincinnati hosting Atlanta. Don't know if they'll be taking a bus up I-75, Kyle, or if they'll be flying in for it. I'll get back to you on that one. But the Bengals are laying 4 points in this one, or I'm sorry, five. It opened at 4. And what scares me in this one here, and there is one later on where I do think the line is too obvious when I'm going the other way, Atlanta getting 5. Now, again, I'm a little more down on the Bengals than a lot of folks this year.
But well, not me. I'm pretty down on them, too.
Well, we both are. So you might be going the same way as me, but I don't feel good about it. I'm taking Atlanta and the 5, but God help me, it's just this shy of the line of a why ask why pick where I go the other way on it. It seems to me frighteningly obvious that Atlanta will cover this game and is a very, very live dog, could win it outright. It scares me when it looks that obvious, but I'm going to say what the hell, I'm on the Falcons.
Last week, there were about 2 or 3 games that immediately jumped out at me, and I said, no way. Tennessee pick Kansas City comes to mind, although that wound up ironically being a pretty easy winner, obviously, if you had a dog. But this is the only game, I think, on this week's schedule that I just looked at and said, no. And the odds makers are kind of saying that, too. The number is almost now 5.5 across the board. As I look at it, there's a lot of five or 5.5. You're about half and a half right now. Remember what I said last week? That's basically the odds maker saying we don't know what the hell to do with this game. Mostly numbers are kind of closer to either 3 or 7. This is what we call the odds maker's no man's land. The fact that I did not think that both teams would win coming in here, so that kind of makes it a little more difficult to handicap. Atlanta was probably lucky to win. Cincinnati outplayed Baltimore for most of the game, but was far from dominant. This, to me, is the easiest no play on the board.
Okay.
But whoever wins is going to be feeling really good about themselves, 2-0, like goes without saying.
Yeah, and again, I could picture Atlanta being 2-0 probably more so than the Bengals. I think they could definitely win this one outright. The next game is actually the one that I just alluded to, yet another interconference game this week. It's Washington hosting Jacksonville, and the Redskins are laying 6 in this one, down from 7. At the open, and I just look at this one, and based on the way that the Skins opened last week, I'm not sure they're 6 points better than Slippery Rock College. I just don't get it. So I'm on Washington. This is my first why ask why pick of the year. Not one of my big three, but a why ask why. And when I think a line is that bad, I'm just going to go the other way. Everything in me is screaming to take Jacksonville because, again, they couldn't close, but we got a glimpse in the first half of what this Jacksonville team with Gus Bradley can do. They're a lot better than, I think, even maybe than they finished last year. And they finished as a team that was not even quite respectable. But this is a Jacksonville team that will flirt with respectability, I think, a lot of this year. I think a lot. Well, I'm still picking them for a lot of losses, but a lot of close losses. This won't be one of them because everything in me is screaming to take them. Unlike I did with Atlanta, I have a stronger feeling here. So I'm going to go the other way from my feeling and take Washington laying the 6.
This has the feeling of a must-win for Washington. I know that sounds like overreaction stuff that's reserved for the Herm Edwards and Tim Hasselbecks of the world. I know two of your favorites. this is another pretty easy no play for me. Believe it or not, looking at all the games, there are very few games this week where I'd be inclined to take the favorite if you made me pick. This would probably actually be one of them. Washington's offense is the problem, though. They've looked bad now for, obviously, last year you have to throw out. When a quarterback and coach do not like each other, things are not going to go well. We
right.
saw that. But things didn't look a lot better in the preseason with Robert Griffin III. They didn't look very good last week either. Now, I'll say this again, like their division rival Dallas, whose defense had come under fire all offseason, Washington's defense, I thought, performed much better than expected. But in a game
yeah.
where there figures not to be a lot of scoring, you don't want to get caught taking a favorite. And I see this being kind of a low-scoring, ugly game. Washington grinds out and wins. So I'm going to stay away. Maybe the under's worth a look. What's the number on this? What's the total on this game here? I'll take a look. That might
don't
be.
Know.
Okay, the under. The under might be. I can look that up real quick here. Hold
okay.
on. Okay.
All right.
That's worth a look. Unless if it's below 40, then that's no fun.
I wouldn't think it would be below 40. I mean, I could be wrong about that, but I know Jacksonville's offense
did you see,
I get a lot of love.
Did you see Washington's offense last week? It wasn't very good. Oh,
43.
Yeah,
that's true.
Okay, it's 43.5 right now.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, maybe a rare total bone that I'm throwing out here. Maybe you want to look at
okay.
the other numbers already come down a few points too. So
okay.
Down the
I told you it wouldn't be 40. I couldn't see it
yeah.
being 40, even with the lack of respect here. That doesn't surprise me at all. It's still well above that. Next up here, it is Arizona at the New York Giants. This one opened at a pick. The Giants are now laying 2. Both teams coming off very interesting Monday night experiences. In the case of the Giants, looking like kind of same old with a lot of the issues from last year. And by last year, of course, I mean the first half of last year, the one that was really kind of the defining part of their season. Arizona, and this is the case with another team we'll talk about a little bit later on, I think a little bit of a deceiving notion of continuity from last year. I still believe everything I said about them, i.e. I'm still down on them. Based purely on week one, I want to be on Arizona as the road dog getting the 2 points. They got to travel cross country on a short week. You talk about a must-win for Washington. It's a must-win for the Giants. Under the circumstances, I like the Giants not to go 0-2. Wait, I'm sure I probably said that week 2 last year. But what the hell? I'll take the Giants laying the 2.
I think you might have got that backwards. I don't know unless Bob forgot how to read. They opened -2, and they're now down to a pick.
Oh,
which would make sense.
All right. Perhaps I have that juxtaposed. Well, I like the Giants even better if it's a pick. So there we go.
Yeah. And that would also make sense given what we saw last night. God, do I want to give the Giants out as a recommendation, Rick Morris. God, do I want to give them out. But there's one small problem with that.
What?
I watched them last night.
Yeah.
Do not look good at all. I wanted to give them the benefit of the doubt. There have been a lot of people who have made the comparison with last year's San Diego team to this year's Giants team in that
right.
San Diego, if you remember, Ricky, last year really sucked in the preseason, and that caused a lot of people to be down on them. They looked totally disjointed with the new offense. But then once the regular season rolled around, Phillip Rivers got comfortable, and obviously they went on to the playoffs.
Right.
It does not look like Eli Manning is going to follow suit with what Phillip Rivers did last year. He looked lost. He was throwing the receivers who were blocking last night. They looked awful. That said, I couldn't possibly justify a play in Arizona because I thought they stole one Monday night against San Diego.
Yeah.
I thought they absolutely stole one that they did not
yep.
deserve. I want to give out the Giants, but having watched them last night, I can't, and they fall just short of the recommendation bar. God, I wish I had the stones to give them out, though.
By the way, Kyle, this seems apropos in light of Monday night's play-by-play. I guess you could say that the Cardinals back their way into the win column. I'm very sorry
okay.
for that.
Okay, look, as I wrote on Facebook, okay, there's a lot of things, as you know, I'll defend ESPN over that the blogosphere seems to come down a little harder on them for. Chris Berman, play-by-play man, is inexcusable. I mean, yeah. God bless him. He's been synonymous with pro football now for 30-something years or whatever he says. It's really bad. You truly understand how, you know, what's his face, Ian Eagle is a replacement level play-by-play man now.
Right.
When you listen, I mean, that was as bad of a play-by-play. Look, I mean, I'm not going to be one of these guys who, you know, put me in the mic, I can do better. I'm not that arrogant, okay? I get confused as anybody. I mean, you get producers in your head, live reads. But, good Lord, was he horrible. He, kept saying things that were wrong. He would say, oh, you know, the Chargers with a false start when it was a delay of game, and they keep referring to it. It was so bad. And then don't even get me started on it. And don't even get me – what's that?
You might not say it, but I'll say it. I used to call Athens High games on WOUB back in the day. I'd do a better job.
Oh, wow. Rick Morris feeling his oats here today. I'll just say this. Were you ever discussing a major social issue in Athens and then yelled, and the punter's blocked?
There were any number of things I remember from back in the day. I do remember that there was one of the offensive linemen I remember back in the day for the Athens Bulldogs. I'm not kidding. You had the last name, and it was pronounced this way, of Seaman. So, needless to say, there were a lot of jokes being made about possible play-by-play calls in the van on the way out there that did not make it onto the air when push came to shove. So, you know,
who knew that
we'd be able to reel ourselves in. But we still got more than half the slate to go here. Next up is Seattle at San Diego, and the Seahawks are laying 5.5 on this one, up from an initial 5. I'm going to keep it simple on this one. There are not too many games this year that I think are outright losable for the Seahawks. I don't think this one's very losable, particularly on a short week for the Chargers. But if they won outright, it wouldn't shock me because I don't expect Seattle to run the table, and I still have a lot of respect for San Diego. Hence, I'll take the Superchargers getting the 5.5 at home in their home opener.
I love where your head's at, and I wish I could follow you with a recommendation here. But don't all signs point to this being a horrible spot for the Chargers? Seahawks played last Thursday, the first game of the week. The Chargers played the last game of the week. You know, Seattle's not, they're getting to stay out west. God, did they look good last week. Deflating loss for the Chargers. This is one of those things that I'll probably be texting you later in the week. Definitely take San Diego, but for now, for the sake of this podcast, it is not making the recommended list.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. Two of the teams that looked the very worst last week are up next. It's St. Louis at Tampa Bay, and in this game, the Bucs are laying 4, up from 3.5 initially. This is just a very, very, very difficult one to pick. Tampa Bay was their biggest problem last week, although defensively allowing Derek Anderson to carve them up was another thing altogether. I keep going back to the fundamentals here, and that the strongest unit, I think, of the four, when you look offensively and defensively at the two teams, would be the Ram defense. I certainly expect a bounce-back game for them. I'll take them getting the 4 on the road. Don't think they're going to win outright, but I could see them holding it to a field goal.
I've seen this line even higher in some shops. If you like Tampa, if you wanted to bet Tampa Bay, I think you've already missed your window here. Here's my problem with St. Louis. Who's playing quarterback for this team this week? Has it been confirmed that Sean Hill's going to be? Is he?
I believe so.
He missed the second half, and it's funny. Now, as you know, I do not have a very strong affinity for chief checkdown Sam Bradford.
No.
I said before the year that I didn't think the drop-off to Sean Hill was going to be that great. But what a lot of people said is if Sean Hill gets hurt, oh, boy. And oh boy, happened in the second half against the Vikings.
Yep.
You cannot win a game in this league with the likes of Austin Davis as your quarterback.
Nope.
I think that this thing could get real bad for the Rams. I think it's not Bradford that they miss. I think the whole team may just be overvalued, quite frankly. That's saying Josh McCown, I think, depending on how he looks, you may have to get ready to get the quick hook if you're Lovie Smith and go to Mike Glennon. We talked about that in the preseason preview, that Glennon is probably the better long-term option.
Yep.
I'm clearly laying off this game. And it's interesting, by the way, Ricky, I'll make one more point here real quick. It's interesting that the Rams are playing the Bucks this week. Okay, you want to know why that is? Because if there are two fan bases in sports this week who I don't want to hear complain about, oh, if we would have had our quarterback, we would have won, it's the St. Louis Rams and the Ohio State Buckeyes. Okay, you're talking about the Bucks. Okay, give me a break. I don't care who would have been the starting quarterback for either of those teams. Outclassed, outplayed last week. What do you got to
We won't talk about the Michigan Notre Dame game. We'll just flow right past that. But
I thought those teams don't play anymore.
Yeah,
I thought those teams don't play anymore.
I totally missed where you were going with that. I thought you were going to say, and I would have agreed with you, that Tampa Bay was going to be out for revenge for the 1979 NFC Championship game that they lost the Rams 9-0. So I totally missed where you were going on that.
Well, what about the 1999 NFC Championship game that they lost as well?
That's true. Yeah, exactly. Another one there. Two-time losers against the Rams with a Super Bowl berth on the line. Very, very good point. Next up here in the AFC West is Kansas City at Denver. The Broncos are laying 13 down from an initial 14. I'll keep it short and sweet on this one. On paper, a classic sandwich game for the Broncos. You got Seattle coming up here. But you know what? Denver laid an egg defensively in the second half. They need a good boat racing underneath their belt to be able to look the Seahawks in the eye. This one is going to get fugly for the Chiefs. Strap in. Not a recommended play for me, but I say lay the 13 and maybe even more if you're Denver.
Hey, look, here's you have two options in this game. Take the points or don't play at all.
Okay.
Don't play at all seems like the much more prudent move based on how Kansas City looked last week. It could be a precipitous fall for the Chiefs this year with all the injuries that just hit on defense. The reason, look, double-digit dogs are always a friend of mine in the NFL. I know Jacksonville got a bad beat last week, but you're right. The potential that this gets ugly for Kansas City just is enough to get me to lay off. I mean, I'm never going to lay double digits in this league. But I don't know. Kansas City may be in a lot of trouble. So,
makes sense. All right, three games to go before the big three to end it here. It's Houston, a three-point favorite on the road at Oakland. Very, very tough one for me. Oakland screwed me last week at the back door. You predicted it would happen, and it did. I don't see him getting underneath a field goal. I'm just going to come back to the fundamentals on this one, the kind of year I expect Houston to have, the kind of year I expect Oakland to have. Road or home, the kind of year I expect Houston to have, i.e. winning the AFC South, means you're beating the Oakland Raiders. So I'll take Houston laying the three.
Road favorite Ricky.
Not a recommended play, but yes. Yes. Exactly.
Yeah, you know what? Hey, you know what? Sometimes road favorite Ricky ain't wrong all the time. So, you know, if I played this, I'd probably take you. I mean, yeah, Oakland, I don't care if they're at home. I mean, getting this short of a number, that's not very attractive, is it? So, no recommendation here, but I'll tell you what, rare situation where I would not fault someone for taking the road chalk.
Okay. That makes sense to me. Next up, a battle of two teams that have some green in their uniforms, if nothing else. They're also part of the Brett Favre Alumni Society. It's the New York Jets traveling to Lambeau, where the Packers are laying 8 points to them. And in this one, again, I just feel like it's a bounce-back game for the Packers. The Jets last week winning but looking vulnerable in the process. And Green Bay with the extra couple of days, extra 3 days coming off the Thursday night opener. I expect the Pack to come out and win this one by double digits. So I'd say lay the 8.
If it weren't for the fact that everyone and their mother's going to be on Green Bay in this game, I would actually consider laying this many points. And you know that I'm not a fan of doing that.
Right.
But I believe that certainly the Jets lose this game. And as I went over in my preseason preview, this is the start of a brutal 6-game stretch for them that may very well see them lose all 6 games. Green Bay, you know what? Maybe if you can right now, how about throwing that in a teaser with that Washington? Might be worth
a, oh boy,
worth a shot. Worth a shot. You can tease them past some key numbers. And, you know, in the case of Green Bay, you'd still need them to win by a field goal. But, you know, that's a lot easier than 8.5. So.
Absolutely. No, that's a good call. People should really look at that. We're going to skip over the Sunday night game because that's going to be one of my big three plays. And I know from what you said off air, a recommendation for you as well. We'll go to Monday night, the last one before we get to the big three. It's Philadelphia at Indianapolis. Colts are laying 3 in this one, up from an initial 2.5. I don't want to oversimplify, but in games like this, when there's a team that really needs it more, and it's the home opener for the Colts, and again, we saw offensively at the end, we already knew about you know what Andrew Luck is capable of doing when they get in a rhythm, but it's the first time we've seen it during the 2014 campaign. Colts come in with the momentum of the second half. They need this one. They can't go 0-2. Again, I'm going to take them for the bounce back over Philly.
People who believe in regression and thought that it would hit Nick Foles this year looked pretty smart in the first half of that Jacksonville game.
Yep.
People that believe in regression and thought it would hit the Indianapolis Colts this year looked pretty smart in the first half of that game too, didn't they?
Yes.
I would not be surprised to see plenty of scoring on both sides in this game.
Right.
If you like to play overs, this may be the game for you. As to the side, I'll be honest with you, I got no clue.
Okay. Well,
I have no clue. I like these teams less than everybody, so I don't have a clue.
Okay. Well, again, that's fair enough. It's honest. And, may not even be as good of a game as many weeks the Sunday night game is better anyways, and that may be the case even though the line is a little bit more distorted in the Sunday night game. This is the first of my big three plays. I know it's another recommendation for you. A classic 1980s rivalry, the Bears and the 49ers hooking up at the new ballpark in Santa Rosa or wherever the heck it is. It really should be the San Jose 49ers at this point, but or Santa Clara, I guess it is. But, you know, they're still the San Francisco 49ers somehow or another, name-wise. They're laying 6.5 in this one, down from 7. Here's how I look at it. The 49ers, I think, are one of the teams in the league right now that have the most distortion in terms of public opinion. I screamed last week on the show, I was on them over Dallas, that people overreacted to the preseason, everyone's burying them too soon. I think now everyone's overvaluing what they did against Dallas. Dallas is just not a very good team right now. And I think the Bears laid an egg, but that isn't necessarily destiny for the rest of the season. Sometimes teams just open with a bad initial game and bounce back from that. I think this line of 6.5 is an overreaction. I like the Bears to get underneath it. I think the Bears are still a playoff caliber team, and that means I think they're good enough to win outright at San Francisco, as difficult as I think that may be. So I love the 6.5 for the Bears in this one.
Well, I'll tell you what, if you like 6.5, I'd recommend grabbing 7 because I'm pretty sure those are available. And if you want to lay a little bit extra juice, you can at 5 dimes. They don't pay me to shill. I'm just trying to help you, the listener. But if you lay, you know, 140 juice, you can get the hook. And I think that would be worth getting 7.5, don't you? Chicago Bears,
yes,
an obvious recommendation for me. I didn't think the 49ers, look, I am a person who's a little bit down on them for the regular season. Once they navigate those waters and get to the playoffs, I think it will be a whole different matter. I talked about how teams historically struggle in a new stadium the first couple weeks of the season when we previewed the 49ers. The Chicago Bears have now failed to cover 13 of their last 17 games, going back to week one of last year. What, are they not going to cover every game? Give me the Bears plus the points. We line up on a recommendation this week.
Exactly. And that I think there's every bit the chance that the 49ers home opener, the first ever regular season game they will play in that stadium, will be every bit as underwhelming as the coronation of Roman Reigns as WWE World Heavyweight Champion at WrestleMania 31 there next April. I think there is a chance that the other two could be.
I'm not going to disagree with you there, but I think we may have just lost everyone.
We probably did, with a few notable exceptions that I can think of off the top of my head.
Yes.
Next up here,
Chris Berman is scratching his head right now.
Yeah, Roman Reigns, what? Who's he? Oh, he played some college
Roman
football. Okay.
Yeah. Roman Purple Reigns? What?
Oh, Outstanding. And then we probably just alienated any of our international listeners with that reference there. So we can't do anything right, it seems.
And anyone under the age of 35, too.
That's true as well, yeah. Next up here, second of my big three, it's Detroit at Carolina. In this one, the Lions are getting 2.5. Had opened at 3.5. The Carolina was laying. Kind of the same as Atlanta. This one looks so freaking obvious to me. Now, again, I have to believe it's because Carolina is overvalued in the public opinion and because, again, they did steal one last week. They did get lucky against a Tampa Bay team that came out piss poor. This just looks so obvious to me because, Kyle, every time I mention on the show about the great Carolina defense, you always rightfully throw back at me, well, the front seven. How's the secondary going to stop Detroit? I just see the Lions going up and down the field at will. Live dog, they're way more than that. Take the Lions getting the 2.5. I'd take them on the money line even. They're going to win this game, and it may not be close.
Yeah, I think it's down to 2.5 official. You know, I think last night at some point you could get a 3. Looks like some places are still holding a 3. So if you're listening to this right now, go get that immediately because that will not last after what Detroit did last night. You and I are drinking from the same cup this week on some of these games, Ricky. I love the Lions this week. Better team getting points. I was shocked Carolina won, quite frankly, last week. The fact that Cam Newton's likely to return is going to have them even more overvalued. I don't like the Panthers this year, so I have them start losing sometime. I thought they were going to lose last week. Detroit, my fourth and final recommendation of the week.
Okay. Well, that takes us to my 1,000-star gold-plated Lock of the Millennium for NFL Week 2. Last week in
Jesus
New England.
Jesus Christ, you're doing it again.
New England
Jesus
let me down.
Christ.
The Patriots let me down last week in this spot as a road favorite. But road favorite Ricky strikes again. The Patriots are laying 3, down from 3.5 at Minnesota. The Vikings, by the way, my only winner last week in the Big 3. So I'm picking against the sole team that came through for me, and I'm going with a team that screwed me with that execrable second-half performance against the Dolphins. But I never want to oversimplify, but I cannot fathom this Patriots team playing this schedule starting off 0-2. If you're telling me they're starting against Seattle and San Francisco, then I say yes. Very, very possibly could start 0-2. They had a horrible start, I think it was 2 years ago, under similar circumstances. Not with Miami and Minnesota, the combatants in Super Bowl VIII, notwithstanding, okay? They're not open 0-2 against these teams. So take the Patriots on the road. That's my lock for the week, Kyle.
What if they only win by a field goal and they don't start 0-2? Then what happens?
Well, it's a field goal right now, so it'd be a push. But, you know, that's my sense of it.
I'll be honest with you, there are advanced lines posted on all these games before the week, before the previous week's games are played, believe it or not.
Yeah.
I love looking at them in that it shows you really where odds makers think teams are at.
How much did this one come down?
A full 3 points. Believe it or not, the advanced line of the game was New England -6. So you know how I love home dogs, but the value here is sort of gone. And in this case, I won't make as much fun of you as I did last week, but when New England wins the game by 3, I'm probably going to laugh.
I'll be getting the road favorite Ricky text from you Sunday when that happens.
Yes.
But, love the Patriots in this spot. That's my lock. My other two recommended picks for the week, Detroit on the road at Carolina as a dog, and Chicago as a dog at San Francisco. Two dogs out of 3. Among my picks here. Maybe I am coming around you, Kyle. Of course, they are all dog picks, I believe, with Buffalo, Cleveland, Chicago, and you said Detroit also, I believe. So
yes, that is correct. A decidedly Rust Belt Great Lakes selection here. You know, a little Dortmunder, Burning River, Commodore Perry situation kind of going on here. Really sticking close to the Great Lakes, you know.
That's what we got. Well, again, a great start to the season last week. You start off in winning territory at 3-2, 60% verified, and I was at 11-5, 1-2 on my big three, 0-1 on my lock. But all things considered, very good start for both of us. I see more of the same coming this week, Kyle. A pleasure as always, my man. look forward to talking about week three with you here and reliving all of our triumphs from week two. Thanks so much, my friend.
Bernie Sanders for president.
You mean Rand Paul. Take care, everybody. Thanks for listening to the FDH Lounge.